Welcome to episode 391 of the Tent and Thrive podcast, brought to you by Tent and Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 10, 10, Thrive. 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. Acts 6, verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Acts 12, verse 24. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Acts 19, verse 10. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Acts 19, verse 20. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. After Pentecost and after the martyrdom of Stephen, the Christian church grew rapidly. Like the ripples from a pebble tossed into a pool, the influence of the word of God moved out into the world. Luke traces this noteworthy expansion from Jerusalem to as far west as Rome. So how did this happen? The greatest of all Christian evangelists, the Apostle Paul, used a sophisticated network of roads built by the Roman Empire to travel across much of what we know today as Israel, Syria, Turkey, Greece, and Italy. While he also traveled by sea at times, many biblical scholars agree that this apostle likely traveled over 10,000 miles by foot during his missionary journeys. He planted churches, mentored evangelists, and trained leaders. His ministry and that of the other apostles facilitated the spread of Christianity. They laid a foundation, but their ministries alone did not produce these wonderful results. The key to this expanding movement was the faithful teaching ministry of countless obedient Christians, ordinary men and women like you and me. Matthew 28 verses 19 to 20 famously records Christ's command to make disciples and do so through baptism and teaching people from all nations to embrace all the things that Christ commanded. We call this the Great Commission, and it raises an important question: who is responsible to obey it? If you believe that Jesus directed this command exclusively to the original band of 11 apostles, then you must also believe that it conveys no obligation to anyone apart from them. The evidence from the New Testament suggests otherwise. Throughout Acts and subsequent church history, believers the world over have embraced this command as their own, preaching the gospel to lost acquaintances, baptizing them, and mentoring them into more complete obedience to Jesus, and taking advantage of opportunities to teach. In 2 Timothy 2 verses 1 to 2, the Apostle Paul writes these words to his young protege: Timothy, my dear son, be strong through the grace that God gives you in Christ Jesus. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Paul taught believers not only what to believe, but how to teach those things to others. He taught Timothy how to teach disciples of his own. And by doing this, he taught Timothy to teach other disciples to do the same for disciples of their own. This strategy explains the rapid expansion of Christianity throughout Asia Minor. Multiplied believers teaching multiplied believers to know and obey the word of God. Paul, stationed in the city of Ephesus, spent nearly 3 years teaching new believers both to teach the gospel to their neighbors and acquaintances and then to teach new converts to be baptized and to obey all that Jesus commands. But isn't teaching a spiritual gift that is reserved only for some? Ephesians 4 verses 11 to 12. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry for building up the body of Christ. Yes, it is true that God provides the church with shepherding teachers. This is a spiritual leadership gift that Jesus entrusts to some believers. For what purpose? To equip believers in a congregation to do the strategic work of ministry. What is this work of ministry that pastors equip believers to do? Is it ushering, singing in a choir, mowing the church lawn, sending birthday cards to missionaries, operating the audio equipment in the sound booth, or cleaning the church building? Yes. The work of ministry serving the work of God through the church includes these vital services and more. Passages like Romans 16 verses 1 to 16 make this very clear. Unsung heroes move the church forward through all kinds of hard work and sacrificial service. But the most vital element of this ministry work is teaching. Is it a ministry for every Christian? Unequivocally, yes. Hebrews 5 verse 12, you have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. This indicates that every Christian should embrace the responsibility both of teaching and being taught, whether that be teaching the basic principles of Christianity or more difficult subjects. Without question, pastors should be able to teach the Word of God accurately and effectively. Furthermore, God enables some church members to be especially effective teachers, though not pastors. But at the same time, every believer should embrace their responsibility to teach others. What should all believers be prepared to teach? This ministry first includes Bible teaching that results in Christian baptisms. We call this evangelism, bringing people into the family of God. But this also includes Bible teaching that results in conscientious obedience to everything that Jesus commanded, whether obvious or obscure. We call this discipleship. Certainly, not all will be teachers who shepherd churches, and not all will be equally effective. But Christians teaching the Word of God to the world and to the church is not a ministry for the gifted alone. All should be teachers. And it is this paradigm of countless Christians faithfully teaching the Word of God that is the key to the expansion of the church. You might protest, what qualifies me to teach? I don't understand the difference between eschatology and epistemology. I don't know hermeneutics from exegesis. Tell me about the Gnostics, and I think they were characters in a sci-fi movie. But one does not need to know Aramaic, Latin, Hebrew, or Greek to teach. One does not need to understand types or antitypes to teach. One does not need to have memorized the 66 books of the Bible in chronological order in order to teach. One does not need to understand the meaning of prophetic symbols in order to teach. What qualified those initial apostles to teach or preach the gospel? Most had very little formal education. Many were unsophisticated fishermen. What qualified them was they spent time with Jesus. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and they opened their hearts. Teaching is a necessary and valuable part of life. We come into this world ignorant and we must be taught. Language proficiency, motor skills, cultural norms, social customs, manners, moral values, all these and more are the product of the learning process of childhood. Since teaching is a key element in acquiring information and developing knowledge, it is not surprising that the Bible has much to say about teaching. Jesus is described in the Word as the greatest of all teachers. But going back to the Torah, many others have been described as teachers or called to teach. Shema Yisrael is a Jewish prayer that serves as a centerpiece of the morning and evening Jewish prayer services. It comes from Moses' farewell address in Deuteronomy 6. Verses 4 to 9, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. This is teaching that parents are called to do. Psalm 25 verse 12, Who is a man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. God will teach, and those who are taught of God ought to teach others. Father, we want to be taught of you, and having been so taught by you and those ordained by you, give us the humility and courage to teach others. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.